What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Man, welcome back. We are back with another one, and today we got a good one for you. I'm your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And like I said, we got a good one for you today because, first and foremost, what the hell, Greg Sankey? Today, opening comments made by Greg Sankey, answered some questions as well at the opening for, you know, obviously it's the big week for SEC Media Days. And so we get into some of the interesting comments that he made, first and foremost. Next, we'll follow that up with, at the time of this recording, Auburn has yet to take the stage for SEC Media Days. They're up shortly. And so we're going to preview, obviously, what I want to hear from the guys, as well as head coach Alex Golish. And then we'll finish this episode up with what's next. So let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. So one of the questions that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey was asked today at SEC Media Days was, you know, pretty much if he felt, you know, the SEC would be rewarded with having, you know, a non-conference, schedule, a non-game conference schedule. And he has said that they have had unsatisfactory conversations thus far. And I mean, just like, what the hell? Just from my point of view and my standpoint, and I'm sure everyone, you know, watching shares the same sentiment, you know, it's like you're the reason why we're in this predicament in the first place. Like, nobody tied your hands behind your back and made you make the SEC teams play a 9-game conference schedule. We were just fine at 8. And I know, you know, we want to see the best of the best play the best of the best. And with that, I agree. Like, it makes for great television, great games. But at the end of the day, what did it do for the league? Because at this point, the committee has said, we pretty much don't give a damn about that strength of schedule stuff. And every single SEC team is within the top 20 in terms of strength of schedule. And so we're going to beat up on each other the entire year. And what's the reward? Because just last year, we had 5 teams in the playoffs with 8 conference games. It was just fine. And so this is not something the players voted for. This is not something the fans voted for. This is not something that, you know, even the coaches voted for. You got plenty of coaches in the SEC that who are not rocking with this whatsoever. And so you have a situation where a SEC team could have 3 losses and not make it because they didn't play in their conference championship game and they have 3 losses opposed to a team that's in the ACC or Big Ten or whatever the case may be, and they have 2 losses. Well, Gregory, who are we to blame? And then now, you know, we're in a position now where he's at the podium and he's, you know, upset. And it's like, we're the ones who should be upset. And not only do we have these 9 conference games, we're also required to play that, you know, that P4 out of conference game as well. And so we're on the hook for 10 games a year, which again, like, you want to play the best of the best. I'm not knocking that whatsoever. But then when you look across the way at the Big Ten and these other conferences, they're not required to play, you know what I'm saying, out of conference Power 4 team. That's not a requirement. And yeah, they were playing 9, you know, 9 conference games or whatever the case may be, but if we're being honest, the conferences are not created equal. The conferences are not created equal. And so, like I said, we're supposed to just beat up on each other. And we got the SEC commissioner up here acting like it's somebody else's fault when it's his. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we all know what the reasoning behind it was. Like, I mean, business is business. More viewership, more TV rights, this, that, da, 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 whatever the case, more revenue sharing. Cool. But then when the committee turns around and tells you, basically, we don't care about that, like, who are you to be upset? I already wasn't really a big fan of Kamish, but he kind of really lost me today. And it really lost me with what I'm really about to get into next when it came to these officiating questions. And he was talking about how he felt that there was a limit on transparency. And I'm just like, what limits on the transparency could there possibly be? Especially when we've seen countless times, you know, time and time again over the last couple of years, not just Auburn, but like teams across the league just getting absolutely hosed by the referees, like some absolutely terrible calls. And then it's like, you got the commiss up there comparing it to players not losing their jobs when they make a mistake in the game. Well, Gregory, after the games, players sit at the podiums and they have to answer these questions. Throughout the week, they speak to the media and they answer these questions. After these games, you know, I've seen players and teammates' DMs and my DMs be flooded with racial comments and racial slurs and, you know, death threats to football games. Like, it's real life. And so, like, there's public accountability. Like, there's public questions. Like, what we do on the field and what, you know, guys go through on a week-to-week basis is publicly displayed. It's put out there on the field on Saturdays. And then they're asked about it. They're critiqued publicly. So what's the difference when it comes to referees? And he got to, you know, going on about how they have, you know, weekly internal conversations and reviews and things like that. And it's like, bro, I don't understand what's so hard. I've always wanted this, especially as a player. Like, what is so hard for referees to do, you know, post-game press conferences? Like, what's so hard about setting that up? Because there's been plenty of times where some referees need to have some answers for some questions in regards to what they're calling or what they're looking at and doing during the game. Three or four games last year directly highly impacted by calls that we had last year. And I'm not saying we won or lost because of these calls, but like, some of them are just bad. And I understand referees have a hard job. Everything is moving fast. You know, everything is flying 100 million miles an hour, you know, and there's a high pressure and high level, you know, of execution that you have to have with that job. But, you know, I had a coach who explained to me when I was coming up playing football, like, everybody has something tough about their job. So get it done. Like, I mean, and we got review. We've got things in place, which you wanted to brag about, but it's like, man, no. When it comes to transparency, there's not no transparency, man. Because if it was, you wouldn't have 16 fan bases who thought the officiating and the process and all of that stuff was absolute garbage. So, yeah. Opening comments from Greg Sankey today at SEC Media Days. Very interesting, catching a lot of heat and backlash from it right now, which I'm pretty sure he doesn't care about. And that's another thing he did mention too, that, you know, he was that he cares about, you know, a fan's opinions when it comes to the potential of college football playoff expansions and all of these kind of things. And like, when I hear that kind of stuff, bro, I'm just like, no, you do not. Like, you don't care, man. You don't. They don't care about nothing except for filling up pockets. And, like, that's what it is. That's what it is. Like, everything is driven by money. And, you know, that's just the world we live in. But, yeah, you can't sit here and say you care about what fans think about or anybody else other than the powers that be. Or else we wouldn't be in a lot of the same situations that we're in right now. So, yeah, not a fan of a lot of stuff he said today. And that's just that on that. But as we move on, let's get into, like I said, at the time of this recording, Auburn has yet to take the stage, but getting ready to shortly. And, you know, I kind of want to see a couple things from them as they take the stage today. Just really, I want to see confidence, man. I want to see them exude confidence. I want to hear, you know, what the expectations are for the season. I think that's kind of one of the biggest questions that people have. Like, how do the coaches, how do the players see themselves as they head into fall camp here in the next week or so? So I think just addressing those expectations, and are we going to be a team who is embracing that kind of like that underdog role? Or are we kind of denying that? And are we going to come out and, you know, kind of be confident in what we have, who we are, and, you know, kind of not denying that underdog role, but kind of saying, you know, we're here and we expect to do big things. So that I'm kind of eager to see, you know, kind of how they view themselves. And, you know, what's the confidence level like? And, you know, really, I just want to see, you know, we're like really what the culture has been like. What's this building process been like? And, you know, there's going to be questions about, you know, especially to quarterback Byron Brown, how's the transition from, you know, the lower level of USF to the SEC and playing, you know, at a school like in a university like Auburn? What's that going to be like? And I really think a lot of this stuff like that we're heading into right now is just speculation. Like, we don't know how he's going to react to that kind of adversity or that kind of punishment on a week-to-week basis. But like I said, I want to see that confidence, that swag. Like, this is my QB1. This is who we're, you know, counting on us to take us to the promised land and lead us to back to a level ground and hopefully even higher heights than that. And then I think aside from that, I really want to hear from Alex Golish. Obviously, Champ Anthony and Alex McPherson there as well. Really looking forward to them as well. But, yeah, when it comes to Alex Golish, I think I mentioned it in the episode last week when it comes to Alex Golish. Just I want to see, again, the expectations, yes, but really, like, when it comes to the state of the program, we've had what? This is our fourth coach of the decade. And so I think this is a area and a position for our program that's been really unstable. And so, like, I just want to see and hear from him how he's going to, like I said, bring us to some level ground. Like, you know, it's been showing in recruiting. And, you know, now that recruiting is over and it's kind of died down, it's going to kind of, you know, mellow itself out a little bit. As we get into this season, you know, how does he plan to overcome adversity when it strikes? Because it's not a matter of if, just when. And how does he plan to, you know, keep this thing stable? You know, what happens when we lose a game or two? And, you know, the fans on Twitter get to chirping. And, you know, what happens when we get some success? Can we handle success? So I really just want to see, you know, kind of his mindset and how he's going to, you know, prepare, you know, as we continue to go into the season. And then lastly, you know, like I said, Champ Anthony and Alex McPherson, man, just I'm ready to hear from Alex McPherson, you know, kind of what his journey's been like. I know they're going to probably ask him about that and, you know, kind of what that process has been like. Lost a lot of weight, had to gain it back, and, you know, having to play through, you know, that kind of pain and, you know, not having that leg strength all the way back. And then Champ Anthony as well, battling through injuries, two season ending injuries in a row, and having to overcome that kind of adversity. And so, yeah, I think it's really a good time for those guys to highlight, you know, really where we are as a team, you know, the culture, you know, how the guys have been working throughout the summertime, you know, the camaraderie that we've built, the connection that we have, you know, the team seems like they're close and they're really ready to play for each other. A lot of the guys look jacked up right now. Been working out hard throughout the entire summertime, man. I just saw a picture of Elijah Melendez the other day, man, and my God. Yo, man, listen, I've already mentioned a couple times I'm expecting big things from him, but we might be looking at best SEC linebacker duo here in a couple weeks and into the season. So yeah, that's my prediction. I'm predicting best SEC linebacker duo. I'm saying it right here, right now. You heard it here first. But Yeah, last but not least, man, as we wind it down, just what to look for next. Obviously, at the time of this recording, like I said, SEC Media Days for Auburn have not taken place. So on the next episode of Landed on the Plains, you can expect all of my reactions to everything said from all players and coaches and analysts involved from SEC Media Days featuring your Auburn Tigers. I appreciate you tuning in, man. That's all we got for this episode. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And as always, we'll catch you on the next one. And War Eagle.